This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Championship again, ole ole. Championship again, ole ole. Championship again, championship again, championship again, ole ole. Championship again, ole ole. Championship again, ole ole. Championship again, championship again, championship again, ole ole.
Before we move on to the social questions, I'm just going to put in a bit here that I don't normally do. That if you're listening to this on an audio platform, I'm going to cut it in half here because it's well too long. So, welcome to part two. Adam. Yeah, that's your name. Sorry, keep forgetting. Where is the question? First question comes from ISO Naughty. I like it when they ask questions because I get to say ISO Naughty on a pod. Could Joe Edwards be future Argyle manager? With his popularity, enthusiasm and passion for this club, with Hallett still in charge and his willingness to promote from within, as we've seen with Foster, you need a bit more than just coaching ability.
Well, yeah, he'd get a lot of support, much like Kevin Lansky and Neil Jules never getting now. He's clearly going to be hugely popular. Why? I don't necessarily think he's going to be Argyle manager from May onwards for a couple of reasons. One, I think yesterday shows that he's actually got the ability to be a player for a little while longer yet. He's, I don't necessarily want him off the pitch when he's winning the majority of his duels against Leicester City. You know, he's come on, and I know there's five of us, so I'm losing track. But whoever mentioned earlier that he came on and was excellent and was exactly the right sub to make at that time, I completely agree with. He's still got that in his locker, and did fantastically well. Second of all, I mean, I think you do need a little bit more than to be able to be a good coach. You need to be a people manager as well. I think Edwards, perhaps, I mean, hey, I've not seen him coach anything yet. Perhaps needs to just have a little bit more time to learn the trade of coaching as it were. We know his man management looked like it. Had he got into that role, would be absolutely fine. Is he a good coach? I've no idea. I'd like to think so. I think he's got all the qualities. But I think the comment on the screen is exactly fair. We're going to go into a situation now where the next appointment is crucial. And I think a lot of us across various podcasts and various parts of social media have said that one thing that we fully accepted was lacking actually with Foster's appointment was that bit of experience and having some experience of managing a senior team in the Championship. Is, I think, going to be key with whoever comes in. Now, that's not to say that Edwards won't be a future Argyle manager. Maybe at some stage I can see the stars aligning and it happening. I just don't think it's going to happen in a month. But do I still think he's got a crucial role to play, both on and off the pitch going forward? Yeah, I do. Because if you can still put into the intelligent performances like that, he's got a lot to offer. So I think perhaps what's been said about Maresca, which I do absolutely agree with, was kind of the complete opposite with Edwards. He has such an intelligent way of playing that game yesterday that Leicester City as a whole did not, in the way that he positioned himself for the duels and the way that he came out with the ball when perhaps he didn't necessarily have a right to. He knew exactly how he wanted to play that game, and Leicester as a team didn't. So he's got that in-game intelligence. I don't want to lose him from the field yet. Okay, you know, maybe touch wood, we do stay up. I don't necessarily want to see him start every game in the Championship next season as he turns 34. But he's got a lot to offer on the field. And of course, the way he leads us as captain is something that I think is universally admired. So yeah, maybe he's manager in the future. Maybe not yet, but maybe not too far in the future.
I also think, just quickly, he's got such a lot of playing career left, potentially, or if he wants to. Find some of these conversations, I think they're, you know, supposed to be flattering to him because it speaks to his, you know, the esteem he's held in by the fan base, and you know, how important he clearly is for morale and all those other things around the club. But it's not, we're not talking about someone who's 36 or 37 who, you know, it's definitely just going to be the case that he'll stay here and go on to that coaching path that he seems to be being offered, and you know, the expectation will be that he'll one day take over as manager. I mean, this is a guy who's probably entering a period of his career in the next couple of years where, with respect, he's not going to quite have the legs or quality to compete in the Championship. I think he's had some really good games this season, don't get me wrong. I think he's obviously a huge asset to have around the squad as well, and I would definitely want to keep him for next season, no question about that. But probably, you know, a year, maybe two from now, you're in a position where if we're still at this level, he probably is not going to be getting a ton of game time. I suspect he probably won't be getting a ton of game time even next year, as Adam just kind of indicated. You know, I wouldn't also want to hold him back from going to pursue 3, 4, maybe even 5, you know, some players do play till they're kind of 40 or so, years of playing at League One, Two, even below level, you know? So, yeah, I think It would be lovely to have him, and he'd be a huge asset if we can keep him around, and who knows, maybe one day manager. I personally think he's obviously going to have a huge, huge, huge amount to learn before being able to step into that kind of role at this level. But certainly a coaching role, you know, with kind of progressive responsibility, I would love to see that. And it'd be great to have him around. But I also don't want, you know, this guy to feel like he is beholden to this football club if he needs to go elsewhere and further his career. I for one, would absolutely, definitely not this summer. I really would like him to stay this summer. But at some point, that's not something I would want to kind of stand in the way of for the sake of a future career pathway that might not work out for him. You know, you only get a certain number of years as a professional footballer, and he has quite a few left, and there may well come a time where he has to make a difficult decision to kind of get the most out of those that doesn't have us in it. So I find this conversation a bit premature and maybe a bit disrespectful to some extent to his status as an actual footballer.
John, I don't necessarily disagree with what you're saying, but Argyle offered him a 2.5-year contract over a year ago, and when we were looking set to be promoted to the Championship, obviously he wasn't guaranteed, but we were looking in a good position to. I think they would have had these conversations with him, and the fact that in the press release about his extension, they very specifically mentioned the coaching pathway, or maybe not that precise words, but words that alluded to that. I think they would have had these conversations, and I think they would have said, okay, at that time, it was when we promoted from within, from Lowe to Schumacher. Obviously, Schumacher sits and has, of course, left the club. But that would have been part of the... Well, yeah, I know. Did anyone miss it? Yeah. Anyway, I think that would have been part of the conversation, that we are a club that does look to promote from within where possible. Mm. Obviously, you know, even now, at every caretaker manager, we're giving the caretaker from within rather than bringing someone in like Warnock, which a lot of us asked for, and probably wrongly asked for, given how brilliantly Joseph and Lamps have done. But I think that would have probably been part of the conversation. We are a club who hires from within. Obviously, look, he has to be a good coach, of course. You know, he has to show that he's got the hard skills, got the skill set. But I think if we say to him, look, let's say next season he has a sort of 20-25 game season, maybe at the end of next year, we would offer him like a 1-year extension whereby, look, you're going to have maybe 5-10 games off the bench, but primarily, you know, your role is to then move into coaching. And then with the long-term role of you being an assistant manager with, who knows, maybe even in the dim and distant future, the possibility of becoming manager, he may weigh all that up and think, actually, you know what? That's worth it. That's better for me than going to sign and getting 2 years playing for Colchester United or whoever, you know? He may feel... I see what you mean about it could be disrespectful, but that probably those conversations have already been had. Like, if that's what he wants to do, then great.
I think saying go and spend 2 years at Colchester United is more disrespectful.
the Kiley brothers are very fine people, as Sam knows. I think, obviously, whatever his decision is should guide it. But also, Sam, you know, things change, don't they? those conversations probably happened before Ian Foster came in as manager. And if Foster had done slightly better and had stayed in charge, there would be a huge question mark about whether Edwards would be surplus to requirements in the summer, in my opinion, because it did not appear to me that Foster really fancied Edwards at all as a player. It seemed to me that he only really threw him in as a kind of way to get a bit of spirit and kind of backing from the fans in there. It seemed very much at the beginning like Foster's plan was to play with very dynamic, very young wingbacks. I'm not saying Edwards is not dynamic. He's a very dynamic player in many respects. But I think there was a certain type of fullback, and Edwards doesn't necessarily quite fit that mold anymore that Foster wanted. So, it kind of looked to me as if he was on the cusp of being frozen out. And if that's the case, then he wants to go elsewhere and decides that things have changed, circumstances have changed. Again, I wouldn't necessarily want to stand in the way of that, because I think he has to do what's best for his career. And again, if that's staying, then great. And if that's the coaching pathway, then so be it. But, I think things can change very quickly in football. Obviously, Foster has gone. Edwards has kind of survived. And, I think everyone would probably agree that's the right way around for that to have happened. But who knows who the next manager is going to be? Who knows what his, formation is going to be? What his favoured personnel is going to be? Who his signings are going to be? I think these are all very big questions that are up in the air. And, a pathway is towards being a future manager is a great thing, but that is a very long pathway. And, in football, there are lots of opportunities to be blown off it by unexpected changes of events and circumstances. So, yeah, I just think it's a bit of a hard one to say at the moment. And there might be other decisions that he might have to make at some point that are better for him.
The opportunity to work under Will Still next season, though, would be might be one he can turn down.
He's not. Wait, Edwards is not going to Sunderland, is he?
Boo. Whatever happens. Boo. I mean, if he does eventually take one of these top jobs, I don't think he's going to be considered the worst Joe Edwards to ever manage at championship level. So it's already a great start.
Yeah, I play football with a Millwall fan on Monday nights, and I found out they'd appointed Joe Edwards from him, and I did a double take. I'm sorry. I had to go and look at my phone to make sure it was a different one. I was sure it was a different one, but still a worrying 5 minutes.
Well, Pompey appointed John Mucinho when he was an active player for Oxford, so who knows? And what a fantastic job he's done there, by the way, as Ali McCoy would say. He's done a superb job there, and looks like we're going to be getting another game against Portsmouth next season. They're now all but promoted.
Yeah, Do the accent.
No, I've only done one Ali McCoy for one day. That's quite enough for everyone. Everyone's ears.
Lee, we'll get on to your question in a second because I've already got that one from somebody else. So I'm going to switch the order. I'm going to ask the transfer question to the transfer guru in a minute. Ben, shit Argyle Chance. There you go. Finally said his actual name. Normally just call him Argyle Chance. Just read that aloud. Brilliant. He says, no loanees played a single second. Coincidence? They all honk, don't they?
He's got away with words. Yeah. I said it on the, I think I wasn't on the last pod, so it must have been the previous pod, the last one I was on, that there's some of that togetherness, that spirit that the team acquired in the run-in was required in this now, the run into this season, that togetherness, that expectation we were going to drop off under the pressure from Ipswich and previously Wednesday, etc. there was a spirit which had been in, it's to be, not trite, but that sort of like the heat of battle, the bond of brotherhood that you get when you sort of in the trenches together, all of that. I know it's hyperbolic, but there is something to be said about being able to put up with sort of a certain type of pressure and know you can rely on people. And it's not necessarily that the loanees are bad. I think the loanees are, they have a lot of skill and they have a lot
what's
of...
What's the opposite of honking as a verb?
Fragrant? Aromatic? Like, isn't it? Aromatic.
You can't say they fragrance. Like you can say they honk. So you have to find another word.
A verb.
Aromantic honking. Anyway, carry on.
Yeah. I have no idea what I was saying. Yeah, I think that spirit was important last night. That belief that they could trust in each other. Rely on each other. There was no need to second guess where anyone was going to be. You knew that. And the communication, you can see on the pitch the number of times that it was either Edwards and Scar or Scar and Pleguezuelo. They'd come together for a few minutes, or a few seconds rather, chat, point, talk, and they had that confidence to trust in each other that they could do what was necessary. I do think there is an element that Maybe some of the loanies wouldn't have been trusted in quite the same way. But, you know, that wasn't that, that isn't to say if one of them was on the pitch, what they wouldn't have done the job. I do think that that was an integral part of the win last night. It's Dictionary Corner, Jack. We're here to educate as well as entertain.
My Argyle Life with Susie Dent, anyone?
wouldn't say no. That Exeter pod had Sonia from EastEnders on it, so I wouldn't say no to Susie Dent.
Just quickly about the situation here. It's kind of remarkable that Juicenip, who was fully in the building and presumably involved in all of the decisions that Foster made, going back to the kind of pre-Foster era in all of his decisions in a way that kind of implies an erasure of his responsibility for everything that happened in the interim. Like, you know, I think the bloke deserves the plaudits we've given him on the pod, and I'm not one of those like Sam who was kind of very hot, you know, hard on his case in the first place. I think he's built up credit, but you know, he was involved in those signings. He was involved in, you know, arguably, you know, reportedly maybe involved in team selection, at least to some extent. Wouldn't surprise me if he was. It's not confirmed at all, but it's just kind of surprising that, you know, he's done a U-turn on something that he was personally in the building for, effectively. And obviously the lack of Loney involvement in the squad and the team has been a part of that. State of affairs.
One thing I want to say on Juicenip is, whilst I think he still has some questions to answer about his decision-making because of how things went in the middle of the season, as somebody who was not fully pushing this idea that he was some kind of master puppeteer, but as somebody who was not entirely disbelieving of the idea that there may have been some truth to that, I think I want to row back from that, because if Neil Juicenip was a puppeteer, I think he couldn't have been a very good one, because the way he clearly wants us to play is so totally different to what Ian Foster is playing.
Or he's a very good one and did it on purpose to get him sacked.
He's playing chess with all of us. He's gone a long way to restoring a lot of the faith that people may have had wobble after the dreadful run. And I just hope that whoever the next manager is who comes in is very much on the same page with what we want to do in that respect as well.
Interesting that you mentioned people having a wobble there, Sam. I don't think I've ever seen you have one. Adam, I said I was going to come to you. A couple of questions. Henrod and Gills has asked, Brendan Galloway will be a massive loss if he goes. Do we go big on offering him a new deal that he can't refuse? Lee Newson also says, obviously, Miller, Galloway, what's your take on the whole situation, given the chances we gave to both previously? Obviously, there's been a bit of rumour. We don't know how true it is. Obviously, that Galloway and Miller won't be here next season.
Yeah, I think the difficulty is, and I think we'll all appreciate, is that you're always playing a bit of roulette with both of them, in that they can both look excellent at times, particularly Galloway, as I've already mentioned last night, was one of my standouts. But at the same time, one of them could shatter their knee into many pieces at a moment's notice. So is it worth going out for such a contract on one of those players? The jury's out. I mean, there has been rumour, nothing confirmed, I should say, that either are definitely on their way out at the end of this. Although perhaps I was speaking in the moment, but as Miller walked off yesterday with what looked like an injury that may put him out for the next three, I did comment off the cuff that he looked like somebody who knows he may have played his last game for Argyle. But again,
was he waving goodbye? Sam is the expert on players waving goodbye, so I'm just wondering if Sam saw any body language to suggest that he was waving goodbye.
The only body language I saw was a man who was clearly in pain coming off the pitch, and that's all I'll venture to say.
Something more like that I perhaps suggest is more realistic. But I think at this moment in time, as much as I've said that there's got to be a decision one way or another when you're playing roulette with these sorts of players, I'm kind of in the position now where I'd offer a deal to one and not the other. I desperately want to keep Galloway around and would be a little nonplussed, as much as, you know, I have sung his praise in the past, if Miller departed now, because I think he's someone that we could upgrade on with next season's budget, provided we stay up, a lot easier than we could Brendan Galloway, no matter how much he's available. That being said, I mean, I know I've said that there's nothing in particular in the rumours that are saying that they're definitely gone. I think it's more likely than not, based on what's been posted in certain publications, that Galloway, at the very least, has attracted interest from the championship and could well have held talks, even though it's strictly illegal but not enforced. But he could have held talks at this point with some other clubs. I personally think that if you are able to get a significant deal that relies heavily on appearances, we know Galloway's got the sort of agent that's accepted that sort of deal in the past. So maybe there's an in there. But yeah, I'd really like to see him around. And I think, considering he's been available for a little while now, I know he missed the first 4 months of the season, but he's been fit. I think since that QPR away game, I may be wrong, when he first came back in. And I think as we've all picked up on, his performances have been largely excellent. And if he was fit all the time, then perhaps he wouldn't be at Plymouth Argyle in the first place. But it is what it is. As I say, nothing confirmed yet, but I would really like to keep Galloway, and I would not be surprised if Miller had played for us for the final time. But I mean, it's silly season. It's not far away. Anything can change at a moment's notice. And we've got 3 months of this to look forward to. So strap yourselves in, no matter what league we're in, no matter what budget we've got.
The idea that Galloway's health should... Sorry, John.
Just very quickly, also possible certain players' agents might be negotiating through the press, which I want to be very clear. I don't know at all whether that's the case. I'm just saying that is something that has definitely happened in the past in football, generally speaking. So obviously, always take transfer gossip with a grain of salt. But when it comes to contract negotiations that are kind of open, that is something that can happen.
Do you work in journalism, John? How do you know that?
Yeah, I'm a podcaster.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yeah, sweet.
Go on, Ben.
The idea that Galloway's health should play a part in the decision, I think, is irrelevant. He's, you know, he's been out for half the season, and we all want him to be, you know, the half season he's played has been absolutely integral. So if we got half a season out of him next year, I think he's definitely worth giving a contract to. So I think that the injury record is kind of irrelevant in Galloway's case.
This has got to be the longest he's played without getting injured. I've said it now, haven't I? But this has got to be the longest he's played getting injured.
Was he not there for a long spell of last season? I know he was rotated
He played quite a bit at the start and quite a bit at the end, but he had quite a long spell injured in the middle. So no. I think that on this... It's going to sound very harsh in what I'm going to say, but I think we need to, Adam sort of alluded to it, not look at those two in the same category. And I think they're often spoken about in a bit of a category of they're great players for this level, but they're a big injury risk. I think that's true of Galloway, for sure. I think Miller is an okay player for this level, but a big injury risk. So I think Galloway, yes, I would absolutely offer a contract to. I'm not sure whether I'd offer an absolute back-breaking contract because he is still a big injury risk. Miller...
If he breaks his back, he's definitely out for a while.
Bank-breaking, that was to say, not back-breaking. I've made no secret of the fact that I'm not as impressed by Mikel Miller as some of our fans are, which is not to say that I don't recognise some of the good stuff he does, but I think his end product is a bit too wasteful. Miller, I would probably either offer a minimal terms contract or possibly just release him, in all honesty. But Galloway, I would definitely try and keep.
Yeah, I second that. what's next? Is there another question? No, there isn't. Should we do a bit of a preview on Stoke, John? Obviously, Stephen Schumacher will be in the opposition dugout as we head up to the Bet365 or the Britannia or wherever it is now.
Boomacker.
You're saying Burns.
What are your initial thoughts on this one?
Oof. Well, you know, it's going to be, you know, the Bernabeu, the New Camp, Old Trafford, Anfield. You know, these are just some of the great football stadiums that there are that, you know, are a bear pit atmosphere when they're full of home fans. And I have to say that, you know, in terms of occasions that we're all going to remember and grounds that we're all going to say to our kids that we visited, the Bet365 or whatever it's called now, arena with its 6,000 booing home fans is going to be right up there. And obviously, you know, if you're an ambitious young manager, when that kind of club comes calling, you don't say no. So, look, I think Foster has got a lot of stick for saying in the past, you know, you have to respect other teams, but obviously, yeah, you really do have to respect Stoke. I mean, these are giants among the mere mortals of the Championship. These are, you know, this is the Leviathan of the level. Who can forget their outstanding achievements, like driving a billboard around town demanding that Mark Hughes be sacked after he was in the job for 3 months, or getting two or three games out of Barcelona legend Bojan Krkić. I mean, these are feats that our club will never aspire to replicate. This is, you know, probably gods against men. And in that sense, it's going to be a really difficult game. And I think, you know, if we go there and then kind of sit in the away end in hushed, awed silence, you know, that will be the reverence that the footballing cathedral in the Potteries will merit. So I would take probably 17-0. I know it would be bad for the goal difference. But, you know, when you go there, really, it's disrespectful to even try and play, isn't it? So we'll just go and have to kind of bask in their reflected glory, I think. Yeah, that's what I have to say on it.
Go on, Adam, give us your thoughts.
I took the words out of Sam's mouth. I don't know if Sam will have anything to say now.
Oh, visual joke there for the audio listeners. You have to go and find that on YouTube whilst you're there. Remember to like and subscribe. Adam, Saturday, the big one, or not so big one.
Thoughts? Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping, you know, maybe if we keep it down to 16, I'll be a lot happier. But on the off chance that the game runs slightly differently to that, and the off chance that we, you know, do find ourselves competing and do find ourselves in it, then my hope ultimately is that Schumacher looks at this game and does his classic Shuri Roulette, galaxy braining team selection, because it's got all the indications of for him and the dynamic he finds himself in, the fact that he's going up against his old club for the first time in his managerial career, by the way, that's happening. There's two Aarons in here, I'm concerned. The fact that he's going up against Neil Jusnip, who you've got the arguably master apprentice dynamic going on there's a lot to think about. I think this is obviously a big game for us. I think there's an argument that it is even bigger for them, and it's even bigger particularly for Schumacher. It's arguably the biggest game he's had at Stoke since he departed, and he'll certainly see it as one of the most important of his career to date, his admittedly short career.
probably the biggest since Bayern Munich at home.
Yeah, something along those lines. I think the way he sets up is going to be interesting, I think, is the word to use. And as I say, I hope that he overthinks it, as we know that he can do. I hope that we come out and have a similar commitment, which I'm absolutely sure we will, to be clear. I think there's a lot of players at our side who think they'll have a point to prove to a manager who've left them in the cold a little as well. So, big game. As you say, if we can keep it below 17, I'd be delighted. But in perhaps another way that the game will go, I think a point for us certainly would be better, or a point would certainly be better for us than it would be for them. So, yeah, we've got to be ready for some sort of atmosphere, I think, and hopefully it'll turn sour.
Wouldn't bank on it
very quickly.
Yeah, the atmosphere actually is what I'm looking forward to after the atmosphere last night. I think the away fans are going to be jumping. Is obviously the Schumacher needle, and you know, a point would see us safe, I think, with our goal difference. That would require two wins out of the last three from one of the sides below to get above us because of the goal difference. And I don't see that happening really. Famous last words. But yeah, I think like if we can get the fans turned, because they've got a slightly better goal difference, I think. But if we were to beat them by a couple of goals and Huddersfield were to win by a couple of goals, I think that's all but erased. So yeah, I think it could be a really cracking game and cracking atmosphere. And it's obviously quite a lot on the line now, which there wasn't really looking like there was going to be a few weeks ago. I think Stoke fans aren't impressed with their run of form. They started putting things together and now things are falling apart again. They're not impressed with Shulet or whatever we call it these days. We've struggled with it and they're not enjoying it either. So I really do think that it's got the potential for like an away day for the ages, potentially. If we can get the crowd turned, and if we, you know, obviously the Schadenfreude will be joyous if we can get them squeaking for the last couple games of the season.
Yeah, I mean, an away day for the ages to Stoke must involve a trip to Alton Towers. Let's be honest. Obviously, Sam, this is our first trip back to the Pottery since a bigger club. Port Vale gave us 4,000 tickets. Obviously, sold out away end. Give us your thoughts ahead of this one. Have you noticed I did no Stoke City preview prep and just asking you all your thoughts? Go on.
Yeah, it's going to be a cracking atmosphere. I think that the 2,600 of the Green Army that have now sold out are going to be making noise from minute one to minute 90, probably quite a way pre minute one. Look, I'm bittersweet about it, because I think I've always been a lot more, as John alluded to in that very good piece of satire earlier on, I've always been a lot more understanding I've always been a lot more understanding of why Schumacher chose to make that decision than many people have been. Because, look, they are a club with a very big stadium and a very big budget, and actually quite on paper, a good squad of players. Obviously, they manager after manager have left jobs for doing well to go to Stoke, and manager after manager have failed. Gary Rowett, Nathan Jones, Michael O'Neill, Alex Neil, and now potentially Stephen Schumacher. I get, for a manager of his ego and his self-confidence, self-belief, he would be tempted by being the one to turn Stoke around, not to mention the enormously larger salary they're no doubt offering him. I was terribly sad, and I still am terribly sad. And, you know, I would certainly be happily welcome him back at Home Park one day. But I understood more than anybody else why he did what he did when he did. Maybe certain things around it, the way he handled his departure, weren't very good, you know, but I can understand why he took that job. That being said, I don't
you understand why he gutted all our backroom staff and then recalled a lone player that was quite integral to the way we were
that
playing.
That was the subtext of certain things around his departure.
Lone player who, by all accounts, has been extremely popular and successful during his spell in the Potteries, and who I think scored his most important goal of the season for us today.
He did. He really did, yeah. But look, going on from that, I think I will not be abashed about it if we... what's the laughter at now?
Not you, for once.
Just some commentary about Anton Deck in the comments.
Oh, okay, yeah, sure. I feel that if we make it a very unpleasant place for him for 90 minutes, I'm not going to complain, because what adds the game a little bit more of an extra spice to it is Neil Dewson it being in the opposition dugout. That is the ultimate master against apprentice dynamic. We know that those two probably didn't part on the very best of terms at Argyle. As to how much that rumour is overblown, I don't know, but there's probably some substance to it. Dewsnip against Schumacher, Stoke against Argyle, relegation fight, win for either team pretty much makes them safe and would certainly make us safe. What a game. You know, you can't really script a better, more exciting game from the, for the third from last game of the season than this. It's going to be nervy. It's going to be tense. It's going to be loud and jumpy and bouncy. But
entirely in the away
end. Enough about you.
entirely in the away end. But it could be one of the days for the ages. I think if we have an away day for the ages, not long after having had a home game for the ages, then this couple of weeks will go down as some of the finest in our history. I cannot wait. I'm very excited. I'll be very angry if we lose. I'll be more than happy if we draw. And if we win, I'll be dancing and drinking and shouting all the way home, because it will be an away day for the ages if it happens.
Sure, Kurz, you'll love that.
No comment.
Have you decided what flavour soup you're getting for the big one?
Not yet.
Oh, interesting. You have to let us know. After
I'm not going to elaborate for anyone else listening what I mean by soup. There, you know, if you know, you know.
Yeah. Likes a tomato soup on an away game.
You're making it sound like drugs or something illegal. It is quite literally just a legal drink called soup. I think just preventing Sam from throwing himself under the bus of uncertainty.
It's a perfectly legal drink.
You sound shifty saying that as well, but genuinely,
even I'm suspicious now.
It's a caffeinated alcoholic beverage. There we go. That's all we need to know.
John, obviously, we've already mentioned their main threat in midfield in Luke Cundall, but are there any players in that Stoke team that worry you, that are going to give you sleepless nights?
Maradona, Gerard, Pele. I'll stop with that now. Cundall and Niall Ennis give me sleepless nights in the sense that, like, it would just be sod's law for them to pop up and score an important goal against us, wouldn't it? But no, they don't give me sleepless nights at all. Look, I'm absolutely not saying that we are going to go there and win. I could very much see us going there. You know, Shuey gets them right up for it because of the former club factor for him. It's 1-0 or 2-0 to them. We don't turn up. I'm not trying to be hubristic about it, but they're very bad. They're very, very bad. You know, I don't think we're an amazingly great side either. Obviously, if we play like we did last night, then we do look like a very, very good side. But no, they're very poor. I mean, I think they're a dreadfully run club. I think he was a complete idiot to go there, contrary to Sam's understanding it. Not because I begrudge him the chance necessarily to go and test his skills at a bigger club that's actually well run and has potential, but because they don't. I think their players are, by and large, probably not poor individual players, but have been poor for them. That's why they're right down there, despite the fact they have a significant transfer budget. There's no one I fear. Keanu Hoover seems like a good player. He's got a sort of moment, a nice moment in him. But if we go there and play the way we can play, I absolutely think it's within our control to get something out of the game. I really, really do.
And I want to just quickly say as well, Wouter Berger, who's been, according to their fans, their best player this season, he went off injured today with a concussion sub. So by the protocols, that means he probably won't play against us, which, whilst you'd never like to see anybody suffering from concussion, and I hope he had a hasty recovery, if the seven-day rule is followed, he won't play against us, which is good news, because he's been there, probably their best player this season.
Yeah, he'll be Berger barred. Sorry. I wanted to get a bad pun in too.
From the highlights that I saw, he wasn't walking too gingerly. Let's put it that way. He was a bit wobbly, so I can't see him passing.
But also, I don't think it's necessarily about passing the protocol. I mean, Ryan Hardy looked in a dreadful, dreadful way when he came off against Rotherham earlier in the season. By all accounts from inside the club, he was pretty much fine, you know, jumped back up the next day and was okay. But he had to be out for 7 days, right? I mean, that's mine. So it doesn't matter how he walked off. You know, it doesn't matter how he is tomorrow. It doesn't really matter how he is the day after from that strict point of view. My understanding is it has to be an enforced break.
Yeah. Adam, should we just do score predictions? Nothing really else to talk about, is there? Apart from Stephen Schumacher's.
We could have that go on for days, I'm sure. Score predictions. Look, it could go either way, but it would be wrong not to be optimistic after everything that's happened. So let's go for a 96th minute winner, Argyle 2-1.
Ben?
I think the pressure's on them. I think we pressure's off us. I think we need 1 point from this and Millwall. I fancy our chance, actually. I think a 2-1. I think a 2-1 sounds pretty... seems right. Actually, I think I'm going to go for 2-0. I think the way we've defended last night gives us... I think we could easily keep them out. Yeah, let's go 2-0 and really put the cat amongst the pigeons.
Are we saying that we only need 1 point now and that's enough?
We're basically 4.5 points better off with our goal difference, aren't we? Which requires one of the two teams on 44 to get 5 points, which is what, a win and two draws. So if we get another point, that means they'd have to get at least two wins out of the next three games. And
even then, even if that did happen, we could still be saved if one of Birmingham QPR failed to get the points. And if Blackburn lost every game, we could still overtake them on goal difference. So there are a lot of routes to survival. Like when political or election enthusiasts here, like when you look at the 538 map to the presidency, you see all these different paths that different candidates can win by. We have a lot of paths to survival. There is a feasible path to survival, and it involves losing every game, which is that Wednesday and Huddersfield will both get 4 points or fewer. I think if we lose every game, we will probably go down. But I don't think we'll lose every game. And for two, even if we did, there is a not unreasonable chance that Wednesday and Huddersfield wouldn't get the points. So I think we only need one more point. I think we will get that one more point, which leads me on very good from Jack there in the comments. I think we only need one more point. I think we will get one more point. I think we'll get it on Saturday. I think it will be an end-to-end, nail-biting 2-2 draw that is better for us than for them.
Yeah, it's actually really annoying that Jack made that comment because I was about to say that. same from Mike. Go on then, Sam. Score prediction whilst you're unmuted.
I think you'll go for a 2-2.
Oh, did he?
good to know you're paying attention.
Sorry, you started talking about politics and I just switched off, to be honest.
2-2 draw, yes.
Fair enough. John?
Stoke 5, Plymouth 38. No, I think that I'm really conflicted about this. I can absolutely see Adam's point that on paper, this is a classic shooey galaxy brain waiting to happen.
It's played on paper, John.
Well, exactly. While I think Shuey is a better manager than Neil Jusnip, you know, by virtue of the fact Neil Jusnip is not a football manager and Shuey, I think, is a very good football manager. You have seen
Schumacher is also a head coach. So
when he's come up against Ryan Lowe for the first time, when he's come up against Gareth Ainsworth, who seems to be someone who got in his head a little bit, I think some of Shuey's, he kind of overthinks it, as Adam said earlier, or he wants to do that. So I could absolutely see him kind of just playing into Jusnip's hands and, we end up winning the game fairly comfortably and do a job on them. I could also see a kind of, you know, classic Argyle back up the performance that was so brilliant last night with the performance that's absolutely terrible next time out. So I'll split the difference and say it'll be a draw, though. Unlike Sam, I actually don't think it'll be despite the fact it's Shuey and us, I don't think it'll be a gung-ho draw. I think it'll be a very, very nervy, horrible game to watch, and it'll just finish 1-1 or 0-0 or something like that, which I would also like to go on the record as saying would be absolutely fine.
Anything you guys want to cover that we didn't touch on?
I did want to, very quickly, a player who did not get a shout out earlier on when we were doing the who had a great game last night, who I just wanted to mention very briefly, is Adam Randall, who I thought had his best game in the Championship.
Hang on. Keep talking.
Are we using this as an opportunity? I was actually not trying to set Aaron up for an opportunity to sell merchandise, but it turns out that's exactly what I've done. So there we go.
No, but in all seriousness, the stuff from in collaboration with PAFC Displays, we basically just take the fucking... I need to swear. We take a very minimal fee off just for like domain hosting and web fees. So all the stuff that's PAFC Displays merch actually goes to PAFC Displays. So if you want to help out with more of the displays that you saw last night and create atmospheres like that again, you can get PAFC displays merch from our shop. And like I said, we make nothing off that.
That's our second highest driver of revenue. The highest driver of revenue being the new swear jar that we've just put in as well. That's getting a lot of money at the moment.
You're going in for the middle finger that you did earlier as well, to be fair.
Yeah, exactly.
Good to know when I finally get my hands on my Adam Randall jumper from Aaron next week, that it's going to be massively stretched in the shoulder department from the way he's saying it on camera there. Not a very beefy man, as you can see. So I think this might be, if you see someone who's wearing a jumper that's coming out to twice the width of his body, it's going to be me, I think. But I just wanted to say, just on a serious note, Frank Lampard face, I did want to say that Randall was absolutely superb last night. I think this isn't say, you know, he's not been good at this level, but for me, that's the night that he became a proper championship footballer. I think that we'll look back on as being the night where he really kind of stepped up to the level and bossed a midfield full of fabulous players. He was quite superb.
I want to say I met Tatsu last night and my phone was dead, so I couldn't get a picture. I was absolutely gutted. I saw him waiting in the queue to get signatures and stuff. And I was like, oh, I finally met you, Tatsu, after sort of helping to set up the interview pod. And I couldn't get a photo. So if you're at Stoke, Tatsu, and you see me, please come and get a photo. I'd love one.
I would also like to agree on Randall. I thought it was fantastic. I wouldn't actually quite say it was his best performance at championship level, because I thought the New Year's Day game against Watford in that 3-3 draw, he was so utterly fantastic, he was even better. But I think last night was the second best game at championship level. He covered every inch of ground. He hard tackles, used the ball brilliantly. And I want to just say Adam Forshaw as well, the other Adam in midfield, for a lovely pass out to Bundu for that assist. As good as the finish was, brilliant to even pick him out there. Forshaw is not a player who's going to play many 490s. I think his legs were already going when we subbed him off. But when he's on it and when he's on full form, he's a fantastic player to have. And I can see why Leeds fans hold him in such high regard. And for ATID, because he's asked us to mention it, I just want to mention that Bundu was playing 8 tiers lower than Leicester when they won the league. And now he's scoring the winning goal against
them. No one else has said that on the pod this evening.
No, absolutely nobody else has mentioned that, because Sam turned up late and so did Argyle Till I Die. So, yes, Mustafa, we have mentioned Bundu, that.
Mustafa Bundu in at Hereford, in at Newquay, in at Chesterfield.
Yeah, yes. has been mentioned. Anyway, thanks for that. I think if that's it, I think we'll call that a night.
Remember, just over the hour.
We're not going to tackle Jay's question in the comments, Aaron.
What, shag, marry, avoid? What we'll do, we'll change that. Shag, marry, avoid, Dan Scar, Mike Cooper, Adam Randall. We'll go.
That's a shame, because I was going to say marry Aaron for all the money that he's railing in from the Macbells. So that's a shame.
God, I wish. I would sleep with Mike Cooper, marry Adam Randall, because lovely boy, what a lovely boy. He'd look after you, wouldn't he? And most probably avoid Dan Scar, because they're going to be a bit rough, a bit tattooed
and now up. No one else needs to answer that. Good night, everyone.
Worries. I agree. Although when me and Dom were walking out of the Taverners bar last night at about 10 to midnight, Adam Randall driving out of Home Park did see we were Argyle fans walking out rather merry and honked his horn at us, which was good to see. Great.
That's not a euphemism, people, like the soup thing. It's not. It is what it is.
And Sam lying down in the middle of the road was like, it's so great that Adam Randall would see us as Argyle fans and want to honk his horn. Oh, he's still doing it.
this podcast is taking quite a turn, and I think we need to wind it in.
Yeah, I think we'll call that a night. I think we can carry on this chat off air. But for the good point, Andy. Why is Sam not wearing merch? I don't think he's actually ordered his yet. I think we'll call that a night. Cheers, guys. Remember to like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. TikTok's done well over the weekend. I found a new template thing where you can put some dancing lady on a picture. Go and check it out.
Spoken it's like a true Gen Z there. Spoken like you definitely know what TikTok is.
Yeah, Aaron, somebody from my team at work the other day literally come back off his break and said I was just scrolling TikTok and I saw you on it. And that was the clip of you put up of me at Rotherham.
Class, where you managed to spill a whole pint down yourself.
That's why he's not wearing merch.
Blame a certain someone who may or may not be my housemate for that one.
Housemate, I'll tell him that. It definitely doesn't own that property. And obviously, make sure you subscribe on all your podcast platforms and all that jazz. Oh, Stan's in the comments. Yes, well, they're actually illustrations of your images, Stan. So blame PFC Displays for that one. Anyway, night. Goodbye. See you later.
Goodbye.
Au revoir.
Up the Argo.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.